Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. The sovereignty of God versus the free will of man. Some people think God is running things, that he has control over every detail of one's life, that nothing can come to a person unless God allows that particular incident, that he decides what can and cannot come to any man. Kenneth E. Hagin was reading a column. Of course, I worked for Brother Kenneth E. Hagin for years, and I remember this. I don't know which book it's in, but I know this happened, and it is cited in some books. He was reading a newspaper column, and the columnist wrote something like this: I don't know really what I am. I don't really think I'm an atheist. I guess I'm an agnostic. There may be a God, but if there is, I don't know it. One reason I doubt it is what people who believe in God say. They say that God is running things. If he is, he has really got things in a mess. And then he went on to name some terrible things happening in the earth. If God is running things, he said, and he caused these things to happen, I don't want to serve him. Well, he just used some common sense, which oftentimes believers fail to do. There are some horrors happening in this earth, and there always have been. One of the things that really bothers me is when I read about some children that have been like kept in a basement for years, or kept in boxes, or women that have been kept prisoners and used for sex. Do you think God instigated that? Well, this little girl can be kidnapped. She can be held for years and years because God said it'd be all right. No, that's not right. You see, there is a free will of man, and the sovereign God decided that man could have a free will. We're not puppets. We're not Pinocchios. Every one of us can turn that will toward God. It's our chooser. We can choose to serve God, choose to serve him, or we can choose to serve the devil. We can choose to do evil. No, he's not running things. The Bible calls the one who is running things the God of this world. Now, in Ephesians, I always pray that prayer every morning in Ephesians chapter 1 and sit up in that place of authority. And normally I read the prayer, and of course it begins in 17, Ephesians 1, 17, God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. Then it speaks about some things I need to be enlightened about, and the third one is that we would know the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in the Messiah when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age and world, but also in that which is to come. And he, God the Father, put all things under Jesus' feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. And then it goes on to chapter 2, and it says, and you. That means he quickened Jesus, he quickened me. And when I'm reading this, normally the prayer in the morning, I skip from verse 1. And I say, and me. I'm praying the prayer for me. And me did he quicken, who was dead in trespasses and sins. And then I skip to verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he quickened us together with Christ. He raised us up together with Christ. He made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ. We too are far above all principality and power. But now today, I am not going to skip verses 2 and 3 because I want you to hear them. Ephesians 2, 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, or the authority of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our lifestyle in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. This tells us that there's a course of this world. It's ruled over by the prince of the power of the air, and he works down through people on this earth. The spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Satan's running those things. He's running those people. They're yielding to him. They do the lust of their flesh. If the lust of their flesh says they want to kidnap a little girl on the streets, a sex offender, he does it. Now there are ways we can be safe from that with the blood of the Lamb and with the word of our testimony and with sitting up in the heavenlies. But that's not our subject today. Our subject today is Satan, the god of this world, is ruling over these things. He's called the god of this world. He's called the prince of the power of the air. He has the legal right to be there. It was given to him by Adam. Adam didn't have the moral right to turn it over to him, but he had the legal right, and he did it. Now, some people think, based on Daniel 2, that God just sets up or removes every king. Well, let's think about some of the kings, the people who've been in authority in the earth. Ivan the Terrible, oh, what a bad guy he was. He loved to watch things die. Puppies, whatever. He started that as a child. And then he loved to watch people die. And he murdered every single day of his life in the evenings. Then there was Torquemada, the Inquisitor General of the terrible Spanish Inquisition. Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin. You think God put Joseph Stalin in power? And there's a terrible King Leopold of Belgium. Most people don't know about him, but I go to Brussels a lot. And he was the cause of more deaths than Hitler. But the deaths he caused were in the Congo, as he worked people to death in the mines to make him rich of the Congo. Millions and millions died. We could go on and on and on. Do we think that God put all these people into power? That he's put every president that we've ever had in the United States? And then what about mentioning the many, many, many corrupt politicians? You think God put every one of them into power? No, he did not. The Bible evidence is that men have something to do. People on earth have something to do with putting kings into power. Israel wanted a king, and they prevailed until they got Saul. Hosea tells us, concerning Israel. God wanted David, and the Jews say, and they have evidence for this, that he was going to pronounce a king among them, and that it already had been prayed out by Hannah. We'll talk about that later. We'll talk about that tomorrow. But that Saul was pushing it too quick. There is a scripture in Numbers 23:21 that says, speaking of Israel, that Jehovah is his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. And they, of course, did have David king that God chose. He was a king after God's own heart. And but then in Hosea, where it talks about when Israel got into a rebellion against God, it says, they have set up kings, but not by me. They have appointed princes that I did not know of. So we see that men have things to do with kings coming into being, presidents, kings. They have something to do about it. Now here at Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, the Lord told us to establish this place for two reasons. Number one, to pray in the plans of God. Number two, to stop the plans of the enemy. On June 29th, 2008, at corporate prayer, as we were praying out here on Sunday afternoon, and it was just before an election that was coming up in November, the Lord shook us, shook the place, and said, one thing will save America, and it is not the election. It is an awakening to God. One thing will avail for Israel and the nations. It is an awakening to God. He gave us instructions to pray in an awakening. and we began to do so. Virtually for 3 years, from June 29th until May 8th, we had the instruction, pray in an awakening. We were told to study awakenings, study the great awakenings, and we did so, study the part that prayer played in an awakening. And it was in June 29th, 2008, when he gave us the instructions, and in January of that year, we began to see that we could stream a prayer meeting every Wednesday at noon. We have, noon Central Time, we have a worldwide prayer meeting that meets with thousands of people around the globe, and they pray simultaneously in unity for an awakening. Here in America, we want an awakening here. But we're joined by Australia, we're joined by the Netherlands, we're joined by South Africa, we're joined by all over the world, praying for an awakening in this world, an awakening to God. Praying, and they also, the other nations, they join with us in praying for an awakening in America, in Israel, and the nations. Now, on May 8th, 2011, Mother's Day, that was a Sunday, God gave us some new orders. And the new orders were this: pray in a leader. And I saw parentheses, S parentheses closed. Leader or leaders? Pray in a leader. Awakenings must have leaders. Pray in a Moses. And so we begin to pray in. Right now, we have people all around the globe. Well, let's just take President of the United States, for instance. We are praying that God will give us a President of the United States, and he told us what attributes he wanted us to pray in this woman or man. Now, we're not political. We don't care if it's the leaders we've got now and he changes them, or if it's new, but we have a leader that we've got to pray in, and tomorrow we're going to talk more about that. We would love to have you come and join us in the Autumn Assembly of Prayer when prayers around the country and around the world will gather in Branson at the Hilton Hotel to pray together. Several thousand of them. We're believing that it'll make a body of prayers. Every single person he wants to be here will be here with their supply of the Spirit, that this can be a very, very effective. There are things you can do in united prayer that you cannot do any other way. Won't you come and be a part of it? If he speaks to your heart, please do so. You can find out about it at billybrim.org, billybrim.org, or call us at 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447. We'd like you to register. You don't have to, but it just helps us to know how many are coming, and we'd be glad to have a packet ready for you when you get here. This is Billy Brim saying, shalom, shalom, and may God's richest and best be yours. Till tomorrow.